worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us to begin with in the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 20, beginning at verse 1. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. Verses 1 through 17, Exodus chapter 20. Then looking in the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Verses 1 through 4, Ephesians chapter 6. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the grace and the wisdom and the power, the anointing that permeates your word. And thank you, Lord, in particular for the wonderful curriculum, a teaching tool in your word that we refer to as the Ten Commandments. Thank you for the wisdom and the power and the grace that rests upon them. And thank you for the opportunity for us to learn from them, to preach and teach from them, and to live by the wisdom and the power of those Ten Commandments. Anoint us all afresh with the Spirit of grace. Empower us to be a people that are faithful to be hearers and doers of your word in each of these areas of our lives. In Jesus' name. Thank you for us as the church. Thank you for us as a nation. Help us as the church and as a nation to put you first. Help us to make no graven images. Help us, Lord, to not take your name in vain. Help us, Lord, to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Help us, Lord, to honor our fathers and our mothers. Help us to not murder. Help us to not commit adultery. Help us to not steal. Help us to tell the truth. Help us to not covet. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Hey, Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Father, I ask that you'd speak today. I ask that you'd help us memorize your scriptures today, that we'd learn more about your commands and how good they are. Father, we come in agreement that your commands are good. You're right. You're holy. You are wonderful. And Father, we want to learn and grow to be more like you. Thank you so much for empowering us in your Holy Spirit through the blood of Jesus so that we can grow in holiness. Thank you so much, Father, for our redemption through Jesus' blood, for those who call him Savior, who call him Lord, and who seek your face. We need you more and more each and every day. And Father, we just want to learn more from you. And teach us how to be good teachers, too, as you have been such a good teacher to us. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you for listening and being a part of our listening family. We're continuing to remind our listeners about an upcoming event that the American Family Association is sponsoring. The American Family Association presents AFA at the ARC 2024. The dates of this event are October the 31st through November the 2nd. And this tour does include a tour of the Creation Museum and the ARC Encounter. The cost for adults 18 and older is $225 a person. And for children ages 3 to 17, $100. And for children 2 and under, it is free. The trip does include transportation to the Creation Museum and the ARC Encounter from the hotel, lunch for both days of the tour, and there also will be a special presentation by Answers in Genesis Vice President of Educational Content, Dr. Georgia Purdom, and a special presentation at the ARC by Answers in Genesis speaker Brian Osborne. These and a number of other opportunities as well. So I hope that you'll prayerfully consider being a part of this upcoming event. To register, go to afa.net/events. Again, that's afa.net/events. Click on AFA at the ARC. Hope that you'll do that as well. And we're continuing to encourage you to help plug your children or grandchildren or young people that you work with in our Ten Commandments Project. Now, let me just mention, today we're going to be talking about the Ten Commandments Project on the broadcast and want to be sharing further. But very simply, again, it is a discipleship project, and I want to emphasize that. Now, we've had the privilege of doing the Ten Commandments Project here at the American Family Association for several years now, and it's gotten, I would say, more exciting with every passing year. But it's a project that has three basic components to it. One of them is the speech challenge. And, of course, what we're encouraging you to have your children to do is we're asking each participant, again, from ages 7 to 17, asking each young person to write a speech or have someone to help you to write a speech on the topic, why are the Ten Commandments important? Now, keep in mind, in years gone by, we've selected one of the commandments and had encouraged the young people, you know, one or several of the commandments, and encouraged the young people to write a speech. This year, the overall topic we're asking you to draw, to create a speech on, the topic is, why are the Ten Commandments important? We'd like to suggest that they would be 3 to 5 minutes long. Again, that's simply a suggestion because any length is welcome to participate in this challenge. Also, we're encouraging you to use your cell phone or any other recording device to record your speech, and you can upload it at afr.net/10commandments. Again, that's afr.net/10commandments. So hope that you will get a chance to be involved. If, again, children, grandchildren, or young people that you work with, it's an exciting project to be a part of. Now, another side of the project, along with the speech challenge, is where a young person simply memorizes the Ten Commandments and recites them to their dad or mom, a granddad or grandmom, or to a youth director, or maybe a VBS adult that's helping them. Basically, we just need to hear from that adult with a phone call. You can call or email and let us know. My son or my daughter or this young person has recited the Ten Commandments by memory, and this is his or her size, and this is the mailing address to send the T-shirt, and we will mail them a free Ten Commandments T-shirt with the Ten Commandments printed on the back, a beautiful blue and white T-shirt, and it has scripture on the front as well. It's a beautiful T-shirt, a witnessing tool as well. And so that's a second part of the Ten Commandments Project. And the final part has to do with having Bible outreaches, basically a Bible club typically from 4 to 6 weeks, whereby young people will come and learn during each week the meaning behind the Ten Commandments. Now, I would mention that's been a pretty neat part of the project, and we've enjoyed doing that. My wife, Bertie, and I have had a chance to lead a number of these teaching projects whereby over a period of, like I said, from 4 to 6 weeks, you teach the meaning of each of the Ten Commandments. Now, I want to emphasize this. It's important that we not only memorize the Ten Commandments, but we know what each one of them means. it's important to understand that they contain what we call the moral law of God, and God's word does not change. The moral law of God as found in the Ten Commandments does not change. And don't let anyone ever make the big mistake of trying to tell you, oh, that's Old Testament. Certainly the Ten Commandments are found in their entirety in Exodus chapter 20 and Deuteronomy chapter 5. However, the moral law of God is just as relevant today as it was the day God wrote them with his finger. And it's important to understand they're critically important today. When we look at our society, we look at the biggest news stories and the news, the tragedies we see in our culture and in the news. We see over and over again, we see people on a large scale or sometimes a smaller scale violating each of the Ten Commandments. We think of this, that all sorts of perversions and sexual sin that are at work in our culture. Well, one of the Ten Commandments says, you shall not commit adultery, and it's steering us away from sexual sin. Well, that's a huge area of need to be addressed in our culture and our world today. Another one of the commandments tells us, you shall not murder. We're not to take innocent life. And sadly, the reality of abortion is such a tragedy on every level because it's taking the life of an innocent baby. And yet you have too many people in our world and in our culture that try to tell you it's okay to do that if you want to. What a tragedy. So again, God's word clearly tells us his counsel on that. He says, you shall not murder. So each of the commandments helps us better understand how to honor God in all the areas of our lives and how we're to carry ourselves as individual believers in serving God and as individuals interacting with one another as well. So as we look further at the Ten Commandments Project, I want you to keep in mind that it's important for us to take it seriously, for us as individual believers first to learn the Ten Commandments. As individuals, just like, for example, I want to ask every single listener, have you memorized the Ten Commandments? And if you haven't, I would encourage you to memorize them today. Now, you might think, well, I don't see what the big deal is. Well, a starting place is memorizing them, knowing what they are. I would encourage every listener, make it your goal to pray the Ten Commandments every single day, just as we did a few moments ago here on the broadcast. Pray it every day. Pray it for the church and for us as a nation as well. Now, you might think, well, I don't really see what good that will do. God's word tells us the prayers of a righteous man are powerful and effective. Pray fully expecting God and his spirit to work to bring about the answer to that prayer, praying that we as the church and as a nation would follow the Ten Commandments. God's word affects the outcome every day we pray his word. So again, praying it daily is a very productive thing to do. Parents, teach and train your children to learn them and to pray them every day as well. But also, again, having Bible studies and time of discussion with your children, dads and moms and granddads and grandmoms, talking about how you apply each one. The first commandment says, you shall have no other gods before me. Did you know that when you put God first in life, it allows the rest of your life to come together just like it should? Because when God is in the right place in your life, the rest of your life begins to come together. But when God is out of place, nothing else in your life will be in place. So putting God first is very important for every one of our lives. Lord, thank you again for your word. Thank you again for the Ten Commandments and the opportunity for us to take them and use them as a wonderful curriculum to read and study, to teach from, to preach from, but also a wonderful tool to teach our children basic foundational truths about the faith and following and serving and honoring you. Father, anoint us afresh as the church to be faithful, to do the work of carrying the gospel to the world, to do the work of making disciples, and help us to be wise enough to use the Ten Commandments for the wonderful preaching and teaching curriculum that it is in addressing the church. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession, as today we're looking at the topic, the Ten Commandments Challenge and Project. We'll be right back.
When you walk into the room, everything changes. Darkness starts to tremble at the light that you bring. And when you walk into the room, every heart starts burning, and nothing matters more than just to sit here at your feet and worship you. We worship you. We want you.
Music of Brian and Katie Torwalt singing When You Walk Into the Room. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. How important it is that we as believers take discipling our children very, very serious. I think it's so important for us to understand. God tells us in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, he gives us the Great Commission whereby he tells us, Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. So every believer is called to vitally be involved in the wonderful work of discipleship. And don't allow the devil to convince you that it's a huge burden. It is a huge joy, privilege, and opportunity to be involved in the wonderful work of discipleship. And we're to start first with ourselves. We're to be disciples. We're to be disciples, and we're to make disciples as well. And can't overemphasize how important that is. And parents, we're to start largely with our own children as well. How important it is that we make it a high priority to take time to minister to our children. Now, keep in mind just a few things I want to share with you in the way of encouragement. It's critical to understand Jesus is the answer to all the world's problems. Hearing the gospel, people coming to know Christ as Lord and Savior, then growing up in their faith again, that process, when it's lived out, when it's worked out in people's lives, helps to solve all the problems in the world. And so the church has the answer to all the problems in the world. We're to go into all the world and make disciples. So as we do our job, we can see God's grace poured into the world. We see God's kingdom being built as we simply obey and do what the Lord has called us to do. And so making disciples is so important. how tragic it is sometimes to listen to so many news stories whereby, you know, in view of the fact that we think of this, we're to be vitally doing the work of discipling our children, and not only our children, we're to be doing outreach to touch children in our communities, our neighborhoods, and in the world as well. It's very important that the church is fervently and passionately involved in the work of evangelizing and discipling children. Children are in the news in so many instances, and too many of the stories are very sad stories. You hear of teens killing other teens, and you hear of children as well as teens committing suicide. We hear of bullying problems and drugs and alcohol problems, young people coming under the influence and doing terrible things. Again, the answer is Jesus. As we share the gospel and help our children come to know Christ and then help them to begin to grow up, again, that's so important, and that helps to address so many of the issues and problems in our world. So we, the church, making it a high priority to disciple our children is very, very important. I think of this in the Gospel of Mark chapter 10. Starting at verse 13, it tells us a familiar story found within Scripture, a familiar account, but it makes for some powerful truths for us as the church to grasp. Again, Mark 10, starting at verse 13. Then they brought little children to him that he might touch them, but the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." Verses 13 through 15, Mark chapter 10. So obviously, Jesus' example is a shining and a wonderful one for us all to learn from. Jesus was displeased at the idea that the disciples were trying to discourage the mothers from bringing their children. Jesus emphatically wanted them to bring the children. Why? Because Jesus loved them, wanted to bless them, would take them up on his lap and touch and bless each of them. And you might think, well, we don't have the privilege of having Jesus to take them on his lap in our day and time. Jesus is not here in the flesh. Well, actually, I want you to think about this. When your child is reading the Word of God, Jesus is touching your child. So the more you have your child to read the Word of God, the more Jesus will touch your child. He literally is touching your child when he or she is reading God's Word. So there's still an opportunity to have Jesus touch by his hand, touch your child every day of his or her life as they simply read God's Word. So having a child read the Word of God often is just a wise bit of parenting. Each time they're reading God's Word, Jesus is touching your child. And keep in mind, this time of year, lots of churches have vacation Bible schools, and that's a wonderful outreach. It's an outreach whereby many of people all over the world have come to know Christ, and it's a good thing. But you know, I think churches would be wise to have a similar outreach simply to teach the Ten Commandments. I'm reminded of a wonderful gentleman by the name of James Meredith. He's a civil rights hero from the state of Mississippi. But years ago, he laid out a wonderful challenge to the church. His challenge was that the church, a local church, would adopt a radius of a certain, certain size around its church, and gather all the children in that neighborhood around their church and teach them the Ten Commandments. What a wise idea. What a wonderful idea. And I do believe, after I read that article that Mr. James Meredith wrote years ago, that was one of the sparks the Lord used by the Holy Spirit to help encourage us to start this project to begin with. But the fact is, what a wise thing. Now, it would take a lot of time, effort, and energy and planning for a church to gather up the children around their church and teach them all the Ten Commandments. But you know what? There's a little thing called the Great Commission, which would encourage us to consider doing just such a thing. Why? Because that's a part of our whole purpose in the world, to carry out the work of making disciples. And the Ten Commandments is a wonderful curriculum God has given us that has foundational truths that bless all of society when we hear them and obey them. So how important it is, what a wonderful thing it would be for a church to do just a project such as that. I would encourage every believer listening to pray about the possibility of approaching your church about starting just such a project. Now, you might think, well, that's a big undertaking. Well, you know what? We serve a big God. And the fact is, if you decide, well, with the Lord's help, I'm going to see if my church will do that, you just may be the key God uses to transform your community in some wonderful, wonderful ways. Don't underestimate how much God will use you if you simply boldly seek to obey and do what God has told us to do. I want to share an article that I want to invite you to email us to get a copy of. It's entitled, the title of the article is, Thou Shalt Not Be a Thug. Okay, listen again, Thou Shalt Not Be a Thug. If you want to get a copy, simply email me at joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get it to you. Again, joseph@afr.net. Here's the article, Thou Shalt Not Be a Thug. The young man, it appears, was straining his mind to try to remind, to try to remember all the Ten Commandments. He had just shared some of the Ten Commandments. You shall not steal. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not lie. However, it appeared that the others just weren't coming to his mind. He then started very energetically. He stated out very, and he shouted out very energetically, Thou shalt not be a thug. I was not attempting to be rude, but that caught me off guard. I laughed at that one. I'm not sure how loud, but that stated as a commandment had me really laughing. No, that's not one of the Ten Commandments. It sounds like a good commandment, but it's not one of the ten. Well, this young man did not earn a Ten Commandments t-shirt that day. However, I do believe that he, before the program was over, he was one of several youths that attended the community center activity that did earn a Ten Commandments t-shirt. How did he and other youth earn a Ten Commandments t-shirt? By memorizing and reciting the Ten Commandments out loud before their peers. Thus, my wife Birdie and I had one more day of adventure as we shared video clips demonstrating instances where people violated one or more of the Ten Commandments and teaching from those clips. We both taught the youth the meaning of each commandment and gave them the opportunity to interact and discuss them as well. The Ten Commandments Project has been operating for a few years and has yielded much fruit in the lives of young people. During our sessions, we invite the youth to receive Christ as their Lord and Savior, and we teach the youth the importance of becoming a student of the Word of God. We teach the importance of reading the Word of God every day. We suggest that they start the habit of reading at least three chapters in their Bible every day. Specifically, we encourage the youth to memorize the Ten Commandments and to live them every day. Why is this critical? Why is this an important goal for a local church to pursue? Why should the church make this kind of youth discipleship project a priority? Allow me to share why. There was a tragic incident in a large city when a young teen took something from a store, hurried out the door. A worker in the store stepped outside and shot the youth, and the youth died. Now, the person who shot him did get arrested. However, the young man died. And there is nothing a person can steal that's worth dying for. Had a parent, a Sunday school teacher, or a pastor taught him the Ten Commandments, the seed of the word probably would have saved this young person's life. The seed of the Ten Commandments invested in the young in a young person may have caused that young man to realize, this isn't mine, I don't need to take it. The word of God in the heart of a young person can save him or her. It will mold and shape his or her character, and that same Word of God can give that youth grace and wisdom that can bless him or her for the rest of his or her life. Another tragic incident took place that was in the news that happened amongst three middle school-aged girls. The three girls left home. While they were away from home, two of them attempted to murder the third young girl. How in the world do young middle school girls obtain the mind and thinking to want to kill one of their peers who was supposedly their friend? How does this happen? Well, a major way is too often young people are filling their minds with toxic darkness that they learn from movies, the internet, and TV. They're literally being discipled in darkness. They learn about witchcraft and all sorts of dark and dismal things to be putting in their minds. So the question is, what are we planting or allowing to be planted in the minds and the hearts of our youth? Are they filling their minds with the darkness that flows by the gallon from the internet? So many present-day TVs and movies and video games and other that have other dark input? Or are they having the powerful Word of God being planted into their hearts and minds? In the book of James, we are told, "Therefore put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted Word, which is able to save your souls." James 1:21. The Word of God can save us, mold us, shape us, guide us, and do so much more as well. There's nothing that our youth need more in their lives than the precious and powerful Word of God. In Exodus, we're told, "And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me." Exodus 20:1-3. And Psalm 119:105 tells us, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Every child in the world is created and designed by God to work and function in life, most fruitfully as a student of the Word of God. Each child is made to live a life and a lifestyle of reading and meditating and engaging God's Word. That's what we're made to do. Nothing will bless, guide, mold, and shape a child more productively than the Word of God when it is being invested in the heart and the mind of that child. We'll pick up and finish on the other side. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession, and we've been reading from the article entitled, "Thou Shall Not Be a Thug." We'll be right back.
Bread of life, sent down from glory. Many think you were on earth a holy king, a carpenter, but you are the living word. Say it now. Come on. Come on, Houston, you can say it one time with us. Bread sent down from glory. Many things. Come on, somebody say it.
Many things you were.
Gentle Redeemer, God with us,
God with us, the living truth, and what a friend we have in you
are an awesome ruler,
gentle
Redeemer.
Music of Fred Hammond with "You Are the Living Word." Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. You've been listening to the Hour of Intercession. We've been looking today at the topic, the Ten Commandments Project, and was sharing from an article entitled, "Thou Shall Not Be a Thug." So picking up over into the article. So the question is, what are we planting or allowing to be planted in the minds and the hearts of our children and youth? Are they filling their minds with the darkness that flows by the gallon from the internet? So many present-day TV and TV shows and movies and other video games with dark input? Or are they having the powerful Word of God being planted into their hearts and their minds consistently? In the book of James, we are told, "Therefore put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted Word, which is able to save your souls." James 1:22. The Word of God can save us, mold us, shape us, guide us, and do so much more as well. There's nothing that our youth need more in their lives than the precious and powerful Word of God. In Exodus, we're told, "And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me." Exodus 20:1-3. And Psalm 119:105 tells us, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Every child in the world is created and designed by God to work and function in life, most fruitfully as a student of God's Word. Each child is made to live a life and lifestyle of reading and meditating and engaging the Word of God. Nothing will bless, guide, mold, and shape a child more productively than the Word of God when it is invested into the heart and the mind of that child. We, the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, are called to disciple our youth and children and to teach and train them to read and study the blessed Word of God. The Ten Commandments Project is one way to boldly and aggressively pursue discipling our youth. We as followers of Christ are wise to use a tool like this one or others we may develop for the same purpose. So when it comes time to really do the work of discipling our children and youth, let's take this work very, very seriously. Let's faithfully be about our Father's business in this crucial area of the work of the kingdom of God. Again, the title of this article is Thou Shalt Not Be a Thug. And of course, it has information and encouragement to encourage you to consider plugging into a project like the Ten Commandments Project. But it's a good tool, discipleship tool in and of itself as well. So if you'd like to get a copy, simply email us at joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get it to you. Now, again, I want to reiterate, I want to repeat what I said a few minutes ago as a challenge for you to give thought and prayer to. The possibility of you approaching your church about the idea of beginning a project whereby you will adopt a certain radius around your local church and invite all the children to come over a period of a few weeks and you teach them the Ten Commandments. Now, let me say this in the way the methodology that we've used is we use movie clips. We may use movie clips, music videos, or movie trailers to help teach each of the truths behind each of the commandments. Now, these are wonderful teaching tools, just like, for example, I'm going to just name, for example, one of the tools we use. You may be familiar with the movie Courageous. Courageous is a wonderful, dramatic movie produced by the Kendrick Brothers. But the first 5 minutes is a powerful, powerful scene of how a man stops at a gas station and somebody tries to steal his truck. And he almost dies trying to save what appears to be the truck, but in reality found out that it wasn't so much the truck he was trying to save. His little baby boy was inside the truck, so he was able to save his little boy from being kidnapped and carried off. But the powerful point is that, like, when you play that clip before a group of kids, and then you stop and say, let's talk about what you just saw. What commandment did you see somebody disobey there? Well, you're probably going to have the hand of, say you have a room of 25 kids, you will probably see 25 hands go up to say, let me tell you what I just saw, because they're excited about being able to talk about what they just saw illustrated before them. Somebody clearly violating, you shall not covet and you shall not steal. Well, again, tools like that are wonderful ways to help teach kids' truths about life. And so those are the kinds of tools that we use, and we would encourage you when you begin this outreach in your community to do the same. And if you want to call us and ask about some more of the tools that we use, glad to share them. But remember, the movie clips are wonderful tools, as well as, you know, we live in a day and age where children are very visual in many instances. So using the movie clips and music videos are great teaching tools, great ways to help teach these truths. And something that helps illustrate seeing somebody violating the Ten Commandments or seeing someone either violating or keeping one of the Ten Commandments as well. So again, just one way to do it, but we would encourage you, pray about the possibility of adopting your community and the children there, because the reality is many a church passed by lots of children on Sunday morning and they never touched their lives. How tragic. It's important to know that we do have a responsibility. Every one of us is called to be mission-minded, whether we understand that or not. And so this can be one of many missions God may use us to help carry out in our community, to share the gospel and to do the work of making disciples. So hope that you'll consider that. Keep in mind, my email is joseph@afr.net. If you'd like to get a copy of the article, Thou Shalt Not Be a Thug, simply email us, joseph@afr.net. Or if you want more information about doing such a project in your community, I hope that you'll pray about that possibility and consider it. because it's a great way to touch the community where your local church is located. I'm going to share a portion. I'm not sure if we'll have time to do all of it, but this is an additional article that's just a good reference tool in the way of discipleship. This article is entitled Children Who Read the Word of God. And on a pretty regular basis, you know, if you listen, you know that we're encouraging you parents and maybe grandparents or those that work with young people, encouraging them to read the Word of God out loud to us every day is just a wise, very fruitful activity. And so having them to read 3 chapters a day out loud to us as dads and moms is a good thing, a very fruitful thing. Hope that you'll consider doing just that. Again, this article is entitled Children Who Read the Word of God. Psalm 119, verse 105, Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And then 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13, Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Again, 1 Timothy 4, 13. And then Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Romans 12, 1 and 2. And then Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 to 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Again, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 to 9. Many parents have never encouraged their children to read the Word of God out loud to them on a daily basis. It just, for many, has not become a priority. Christian parents often take their children to Sunday school and church, and that's a great thing. That's a very wise thing, and wise parents are wise to do that as a lifestyle. But sadly, having their children to read the Word of God out loud to them every day, along with church attendance, just for so many, has never been a priority. Allow me to make a case for why it will be very wise to change this reality. Consider this important question and the answer to it. What happens when a child reads the Word of God? What takes place in the life of a young person who is faithfully taking time to read God's Word every single day? Well, when the child is reading, he or she is spending time with Jesus. He or she is spending time interacting with Jesus as they take time to read the Word of God. That child is spending time listening to the wisdom, the grace, the power, and the insight of the Creator of the universe. See John chapter 1, verse 1, John 6, 63, and Romans 12, 1 and 2. What more productive activity could your child possibly be doing? That young person, when they're reading God's Word, is receiving the most powerful, life-changing, and uplifting insight in all of the universe, the Word of God. The transforming power of God's Word is working on the mind and heart of this young person. The Word of God is impacting this youth in many fruitful ways. See Romans 12, 1 and 2, and Proverbs chapter 1 and chapter 2. This young person is spending time in the presence of Christ and of God. And when any person spends time in the presence of God, he or she will not be the same on the other side of that time. See John chapter 1, verse 1. Researchers at the Center for Bible Engagement found some interesting insights about the importance of and place of reading Scripture in the life of any believer. According to their research, the life of someone who engages and spends time in Scripture 4 or more times a week looks radically different from the life of someone who doesn't. They discovered that the lives of believers who do not engage the Bible most of the days of the week, that is, 3 days or less, their lives are statistically the same as the lives of unbelievers. Spending time reading and meditating on Scripture daily is much more important than so many fully grasp. So parents, if you begin the daily habit of having your child read the Word of God out loud to you daily, great things can begin to happen in your child's heart. And for time reasons, we'll end the reading there. But if you'd like to get a copy of this article again is entitled Children Who Read the Word of God. We'll be glad to get it to you. Same email, again, joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get it to you. As we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you are listening today and you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of your life, today is a great day, a wonderful day to get saved. If you'd like to commit your heart and your life to the Lord, fully place your life in His hands and be saved today, would you, from your heart, pray this prayer with me, even now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you came into the world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all the wrong things I've ever done. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be the Lord and Savior of my life. In your word, you told us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, today I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Help me to read your word daily. Help me to seek you in prayer daily. Help me to obey you daily. Thank you, Lord, for hearing me. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer, we're very much wanting to connect with you, like to be in touch with you. My email, once again, is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We'd like to share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Please be sure and get in touch with us again. joseph@afr.net. If you'd like to get a copy of either of the articles we shared, the two article titles, the first article, Thou Shall Not Be a Thug, the second article, Children Who Read the Word of God. If you'd like one or both, simply email us, same email, joseph@afr.net. And seriously give thought to what we were encouraging and challenging you to think about. Adopting an area around your church to teach all those children the Ten Commandments. Hope you'll consider that. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.